Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Saxon. I pray that you had a wonderful weekend of worship and praise. Thank you so much for joining me today for Faith Alive, the process of day where we walk by faith and not by sight into the promises, into the purpose of God, pursuing the will of God and knowing that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly far above what we ask, think, or even imagine. In this 15-minute empowerment, we're going to be encouraging our walk of faith, encouraging our stand, even the things that we have to go through in the process of God's divine will. And we do know that this process never, ever, ever ends. It is a continual process until we see Him face to face. And when we do, we're going to be changed as He is line upon precepts, contact, and everything in our life is going to basically come to the place where we see the salvation of God in our lives every single day, line upon line, precept upon precept, glory, glory, height to height, depth to depth. We're going to see favor beyond favor in our life because we choose to do it God's way. When we see Him, we will be as He is, and then there will be no need for us to go through this process of what we are going through now because we will be changed just as He is. So we are grateful unto God because we have the opportunity not only to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but also to learn of Him, to see Him, to know Him for ourselves personally, to have a relationship and to have an intimate conversation, mindset, hope, a desire, will to be exactly as He is. And it's amazing because God always chooses unlikely people to do His will. And it's wonderful because you never would have chosen yourself, but God chose you. We've been studying unlikely places of blessing, looking at people in the Bible who've been in predicaments that seem like their lives was over, so to speak. The aspects of where they were going and how they were going to end was not going to be in their favor. Even to the place where the promise of God, what God had told them, did not look like it was going to manifest, but that thing that God told them, that promise that God gave them, even if it was to their ancestors, even if it was to Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, even if it was the seed of any of those, that manifestation of that promise came into fruition in a way or in a setting that didn't look like God was able, but God was still able because He showed up in an impossible situation and He did something miraculous. That was a blessing not only to them, not only to their family, but to the whole nation. And God will sometimes choose people to do things, to be trendsetters, to set the way for someone else to follow. And in doing so, it's going to cost you, but the cost is going to be so much worth it because in the end, many lives are going to be changed, many lives are going to be saved, many people are going to be delivered and blessed, and they're going to know God. And it's going to be through you, the one that God has chosen to do this through. So we align ourselves in agreement with God and His will so that His will can be done in our lives. We're looking again at unlikely places of blessings, but now we're looking at in leadership. And we're looking at David, the chosen one, because David was chosen by God to do God's purpose, to lead God's people, to be God's man, and to be a worshiper, to show the people what true worship was about and how to worship God with all of your heart and obey Him. Doesn't mean that you're perfect, doesn't mean you always get it right, but it shows that no matter what, you're panting after God and His will. You're panting after God and His purpose and His plan, and you're allowing His will to be divinely orchestrated in you, to be divinely played in your life, so to speak. You're allowing Him to be the one who tell you, I'm going to lead you and guide you and trust where I'm taking you. I'm going to take you someplace. Believe what I'm telling you. And David was that man who did everything for the glory of God. And when he did, God was glorified. When he was out of the will of God and he made a mistake, you always knew it. But the places where he glorified God outstood, outlasted, they were so much more powerful than any mistake that he would make. And that's the life that we want to live, the life that says that no matter what's going on, I'm going to please God. And in the midst of my making mistakes, it won't compare to the victories and the glory that God is going to get out of my life. We're going to go back and we're going to look at David again and we're going to see him and we're going to study him some more. And we're at a place where we understand that vengeance can be sweet if you take it in on yourself. But David chooses not to take this vengeance on himself. He chooses to do it God's way. And that is sometimes hard for believers, because when we've been injured and we've been wounded and we haven't done anything to this individual or these individuals that would cause them to come after us, that would even cause them to even attack us or persecute us in any way, especially if they're the household of faith or maybe a family member or someone who should know you and know your character and know your behavior. When they come after you, everything in you, when you have the opportunity to attack, to avenge yourself, is there, is prevalent. But you cannot even allow that opportunity, because you are stepping into God's lane. You're stepping into the place where God knows how to handle and how to avenge and how to even deal with that individual. And when you begin to step into God's lane and you begin to take control and say, I'm going to avenge myself, you then hold the hand of God from bringing you a justice or bringing you justification, or even a blessing that you would receive if you let him handle it. We don't know the end results of things. And sometimes when we step out of our own way into a lane that we know God is in control of and he's saying, let me handle it, you need to back away, because that basically puts you in place of God and you're handling your life yourself, and you don't know how God is going to change it, how God is going to turn it, how that person is going to change or repent. You don't even know where God is going to take that individual or take you completely and fully. So when you trust God, you have to trust him even with the vengeance part. And you got to trust him to know that he knows how to do it, and he knows how to do it the right way, and it's going to be justified, and it's going to be just, and it's going to be his way and not yours, okay? So that's a hard thing. David here is in this cave. It's called the shepherd's point, or the shepherd's position. And this cave is where the shepherds went to basically put their sheep, their cattle, in the middle of the night so that they're not attacked, the predators don't get them, and that thieves don't steal them. And the way this is designed is that it has walls on either side, but it has an opening. And the shepherds will sit at the mouth of the opening, which speaks clearly to how God wants our natural shepherds to be with their sheep. They want them to be inside the place, the ark of safety, of the covenant. And if anything is going to attack, it's going to have to come through the shepherds first. It's going to have to come through the one that is the overseer, the one that is the pastor, the one that is the leader. And the leader is going to fight. He's going to fight in the spirit. He's going to fight, or she's going to fight in prayer, in warfare, standing in the gap, fasting, being warned by God sometimes that something is going to happen. So as we do this, we do it knowing that God has got our back and that he's protecting those people that have been assigned to us from hurt, harm, and danger, because the shepherd is the one that sees beyond where the sheep are, where the sheep can see, and he's the one or she's the one that leads them to the place of the pastures of safety as they lead or led by God themselves and his spirit. So we see here that they're here. Saul goes inside this place to relieve himself. David's men are saying, God's going to get, has given this man to you. Go ahead and kill him. Let's be done with it. You know you're the king. But David understands and knows that he's not supposed to in any way touch God's anointed. And sometimes we have to be reminded, touching God's anointed may not be with you fussing with them. It could be in actions. It could be in words of the heart or the mind. It could be in deeds that are done that are not done. It could be in any one of those forms. So we have to constantly check our heart motives, check ourselves to make sure we're really aligning with the will of God, making sure that it is not selfish intent, making sure that we're trying to not sabotage someone by not doing what we're supposed to in ministry, in their life, in the corporation, wherever it's at, that we're not trying to sabotage them because we're not doing our part, that we secretly want them to fail. You can't do that. You have to make sure you do all things as unto the Lord with all of your heart. And when you don't have the strength to do it, you ask for strength, because his strength is made perfect in our weakness. We might be weak there, and our flesh might be telling us one thing, but we've got to allow God to be God and him to be glorified, even in a tough situation. And people don't want that, because they want to avenge themselves. They don't want to be used. They don't want to be abused. They don't want to be played for someone that is weak. And so we sometimes step in thinking that we're going to make sure they see us as strong. But sometimes being strong actually looks like you're weak, because Jesus looked weak on the cross. He looked very, very weak, but that was his strong point, because he was now taking on everything that mankind had ever done and ever will do on himself to pay the price. So he looked very, very weak, but he was very, very strong. And he didn't have to avenge himself over the words and the actions of these people that were doing and taunting in his faith, even though he could have. He could have done all of these things. And now he's our example that says to us, you can do this through me, through my help. I'm going to show you how. I'm going to help you. But you've got to let me be God. You've got to let me do it. So Saul is in, releases himself. David cuts the end of his robe and goes out when he's some ways, and he starts to call his name, letting him know that, hey, I could have killed you. I could have done all these things, but I didn't. He even goes and he confronts the areas of where Saul has believed that David has tried to do all these things. He says, people in the kingdom are telling me that I'm trying to kill you, that I'm after your kingdom. If I was after your kingdom, this was a prime example. I could have killed you while you were in this cave. I could have killed you while you were here. But I let you understand and let you know I am not your enemy. And whatever is happening in your life, you need to go back and revamp. David's sole purpose was to allow Saul to see the mistake and hope that he would change and he would turn. Many times leaders try to do that, and people never change and they never turn. And you cannot regret the fact that you did it God's way, even if they never come back and say they're sorry, even if they never change, even if they never, ever see the error of their ways. You got to believe that you did it the way that God told you, and because you did, there's a reward for you for your obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And I'm telling you, God's going to reward you for your faithful obedience unto his will, even in a hard place like this. David begins to give Saul the word of the book of Proverbs, I'm sorry. And he gives him the Proverbs because he's saying, let God judge between you and I. I want God to judge between you and I, because if God judges between us and you've done this to me and I've done no sin, I've done no evil, I've done nothing to you, then God is going to deal with you and possibly kill you for touching me, because I belong to him too. I'm his anointed too. David understood that, and he was teaching and showing his men, even in this, how to be godly, how to be righteous. Sometimes your heart place is the place that God lets someone else see the righteousness of him, the way that they should behave or conduct themselves. And that's not always easy, because your human part, your human nature says, I'm going to show you. I'm not a walkover. I'm not someone that you can just mess with, even on the job, even in your career. But you've got to let God be God. You've got to let God be true and every man be a lie. If he says, I'm for you, I'm with you, and I'm more than the whole world against you, then no man will be able to stand against you. If that promise is to you and you believe that promise, then you're going to watch God defend you. You're going to see the weapon be formed, but it's not going to prosper. It's going to go back to the enemy bankrupt. It's going to go back unaccomplished. Their enemy's not going to get rich at your expense. He's not going to be able to prosper on your efforts, on your name, on your talent, and do it wrongly and think that God is not going to step in and avenge you. You've got to trust that God has got you. And when you're looking weak, when you're looking in a certain way, you've got to trust that God is going to make you look strong, and he's going to make you look blessed, and he's going to let you come out of this thing on top. And that's what you have to trust, and that's very hard. I've been there many, many, many times, and I'm telling you, to do it God's way is so much better than doing it your own way. Well, he's teaching this lesson because, remember, David's men are men that he's training. He's showing them how to live and do it God's way, and you've got to be able to do it his way regardless of what it looks like. When David recognized the sovereignty of God on his life and on the life of Saul, he knew that there were certain things that he could not do. You've got to recognize the sovereignty of God in every circumstance and every opportunity. He could not kill Saul because Saul was still in line with God's divine will. Saul still had the order of God's hand. And you've got to understand, don't go after the people. Don't try to persecute the people. Don't put them down. Don't tear them up. Don't sabotage the works of their hands. Don't do evil for evil. Let God be God. I don't care what they've done to you. Let God be God. That's part of your leadership training. That's part of what God is going to do, and he's going to make a way for you to look like the success that he's called you. That's what David looked like. David, to his men, to Saul's men, to Saul himself, because Saul even said, you are a better man than me. that lets you know the positivity, the authority, and the anointing on David's life to lead even Saul's men to a place to believe that he was the next one. I'm Pastor Cheryl Jackson. That's all the time I have for today. I hope you've been encouraged in your walk of faith and letting God be God and let him take you where he needs to go. We're going further tomorrow, and we'll be back to empower you for more. Be blessed.